It's 8 o'clock.
Good morning. This is Northern Light for Monday, May 6th. I'm Monica Sandreski.
And I'm Todd Moe.
The state is hosting a public comment hearing tomorrow night on a controversial solar development in Canton. The town wants to get a fair share of the money from the company. Residents have environmental and safety concerns.
It's complicated, right? Because solar is important. We have to. We absolutely have to. It's a climate crisis. We have to move that way. But I absolutely believe there's a right way to do that and a wrong way to do that.
Lawmakers are back in Albany today. Environmentalists have their fingers crossed they'll pass a series of bills, including one to reduce plastic packaging.
There is ferocious industry opposition, and that is what we are up against in Albany this year.
And with temperatures warming up, a listener in Anchiota shares his advice on how to repel black flies and his favorite spots in Paul Smith's. All that's coming up on Northern Light. Stick with us.
Broadcast of Northern Light here on North Country Public Radio is supported by Adirondack Experience, the museum on Blue Mountain Lake, delivering Adirondack educational programs and interactive learning to classrooms throughout the North Country. The adkx.org/education. And by Apothecary Chocolates, making gourmet chocolates by hand from all natural herbs, botanicals, and tree syrups, apothecarychocolates.com.
This is Northern Light. I'm Monica Sandreski.
And I'm Todd Moe. New York State wants 70% of electricity to come from renewable energy by 2030. And only a decade later, it's shooting for 100% zero-emission electricity. To meet the increasing demand, private companies are proposing a slew of solar development all over the state, including in the North Country, where it's easy to build because the land is cheap and a lot of it's been cleared for agriculture.
In Canton, a company called EDF Renewables wants to build a large-scale commercial solar project just southwest of the village. The Rich Road project would take up around 1,700 acres and spread out along both sides of Route 11. The project has generated a lot of controversy, and tomorrow the public will have a chance to make their voices heard. Catherine Wheeler reports.
EDF Renewables' Rich Road Solar Project would be the single largest solar development in St. Lawrence County so far. It would produce up to 240 megawatts of energy, enough to power more than 61,000 homes. The project's backdrop is acres of privately owned land in the town of Canton, and the town board doesn't get to decide what happens.
The Rich Road Project is a different structure, whereas this is a state project. The state doesn't necessarily have to follow our local law.
That's Canton Town Supervisor Mary Ann Ashley. The state's Office of Renewable Energy Siting, or ORES, regulates large-scale green energy projects in New York like this one. The agency can supersede local zoning laws, and the state argues that it keeps projects from getting delayed and is more efficient. So local people, like Ashley, want to get as much out of this multinational company as they can. And a big sticking point right now is the money. EDF has to pay local governments instead of paying property taxes. That amount hasn't been settled on yet, but it's estimated that close to two-thirds of it will go to the Canton School District. The county will get a quarter, and the town will get about 8%. Ashley's not satisfied with that.
New York State will be achieving some of their clean energy goals. EDF is going to be making so much money, the lease owners can't blame them for signing on. The school, as a result of our solar pilot agreements, is going to be making out. The county is going to be making out. The town is going to be making the lease.
Beyond the money, local people have a whole host of other things they're worried about. There are environmental and safety concerns. The Rich Road Project includes a proposed 20-megawatt battery storage site. Last year, three battery storage sites in New York caught on fire, including in neighboring Jefferson County. Potential emergencies could put a strain on already limited EMS resources in the area. And then there's the debate about the land itself.
The permanently impacted active agricultural land is about 1,165 acres, and of that, 603 acres is considered prime agricultural land.
That's Jason Fotenhauer. He's the director of the St. Lawrence County Planning Office.
And the county is concerned about the consumption of that prime agricultural land because the ag industry that is so vibrant in St. Lawrence County, and if there is no more agricultural land to till, then we will see the loss of that ag industry.
Fotenhauer says the county recognizes the need for more renewable energy. But he says this is about being strategic about which land is developed, especially if more companies want to build solar here.
It's the biggest new land use in St. Lawrence County, and it needs to be planned for and addressed, and unintended consequences have to be mitigated somehow.
Officials from EDF say they chose the spot along Route 11 to avoid some other good farmland to the north and marshlands to the south. The site is also very close to where they can link up to the electrical grid so the energy can travel downstate. The concerns about the location also go beyond the land's purpose. Locals are worried about what it's going to look like. EDF says they have plans to use berms, trees, and shrubs to mostly keep it from view, says project developer Jonathan Geldard.
We were able to really reduce or almost completely eliminate the view shed from the road to any of our solar arrays to the north of Route 11.
With all of those factors in mind, a lot of people in Canton have sparred about whether it should be here at all. Some say the massive project will ruin the open, rural landscape for locals and tourists. Some are scared about the potential battery storage accidents. And some say this project is a good thing, that it's a needed step in the fight against climate change. For others, it's about finding a balance. Kathy Schrady lives in the town of Canton and is a member of the Sustainability Committee.
It's complicated, right? Because we don't want to be, you know, NIMBYs, like it's not my backyard, right? Solar is important. We have to. We absolutely have to. It's a climate crisis. We have to move that way. But I absolutely believe there's a right way to do that and a wrong way to do that.
Schrady says that means making sure EDF and the state are transparent and accountable for the people of Canton.
It still can be done in a way that doesn't bulldoze over a community and doesn't potentially negatively affect a community.
On Tuesday, the state is hosting a public comment hearing. Canton Town Supervisor Mary Ann Ashley says the town has put a lot of hard work into its position, but Ashley wants community members to show up too.
This is a critical point in the process. The public needs to come out and speak and pay attention to what's going on in our local governance.
After the hearing, the state will decide whether or not to approve the permit or make any changes. If the state recognizes significant concerns raised in the public comment period, it also has the option to ask for more work to be done. The public meeting is at 6 p.m. on Tuesday at the Best Western in Canton. Catherine Wheeler, North Country Public Radio in Canton.
Listening to Northern Light right here on North Country Public Radio, 8 minutes past eight. Good morning. I'm Todd Moe.
And I'm Monica Sandreski. Phil Fitzpatrick loves to hike near his camp on Chiota. Coming up, he's got a poem and advice to share for repelling black flies. That's coming up in just a few minutes here on Northern Light.
That's Potsdam guitarist Oscar Sarmiento. You can check out more of his music as part of our Underscore project on our website at ncpr.org/underscore. Northern Light is supported by the Village Mercantile Saranac Lake, partnering with local nonprofit organizations to sell their merchandise through their e-commerce store. More at villagemerc.com. Thank you.
The New York State Legislature returns today, and environmentalists hope they'll act on a series of measures to combat climate change and clean up pollution. Among other measures, they are trying once again to get a law that reduces plastic packaging passed before the state legislature adjourns for the year in June. Karen DeWitt reports.
The Plastics Packaging Reduction Act has three components, says Judith Enck, a former regional administrator for the EPA. She now heads Bennington College's Beyond Plastics. Enck says plastics recycling has been an abysmal failure, with only 6% of packaging and single-use products being recycled. The measure would cut in half all of the plastic packaging that is now used.
These goals are incremental, so it requires a 10% reduction in plastic packaging after 3 years, 20% reduction after 5 years, 30% reduction after 8 years, 40% reduction after 10 years, and then we get to 50% reduction after 12 years. It's a glide path, and it is a very reasonable schedule. Big companies know how to innovate when the law requires them to do that.
The bill also bans toxic chemicals in plastic packaging and imposes a fee on producers of the materials. In addition, it makes illegal a form of plastics recycling known as chemical recycling. That process heats the plastic waste to a high temperature and converts it to a form of fossil fuel. Many county leaders around the state back the bill. Ulster County Executive Jen Metzger is a former state senator. She says it would help counties manage increasingly expensive waste disposal.
It will save upstate taxpayers as much as $150 million a year. It will provide local governments with desperately needed revenue to improve local recycling and reuse programs. And critically, it shifts the cost from our communities to the corporations that are responsible for generating it, which is the just and fair approach to addressing the plastics and waste crisis.
The bill has 80 co-sponsors in the state assembly and 34 in the state senate. The environmental committee chairs in both houses back the bill, and it's been approved in their committees. But it remains stuck in higher-ranking committees that it must pass through in order to make it to the floor. Enck says the public also backs the idea, but she says the plastics and chemical industries oppose it and have been fighting behind the scenes to kill or weaken the legislation.
There is ferocious industry opposition, and that is what we are up against in Albany this year.
In a statement, Ross Eisenberg of America's Plastic Makers, which is part of the American Chemistry Council, says the group is opposed to the bill in its current form. Eisenberg says the proposal misses the mark, and he says the measure closes off innovative solutions like chemical recycling and would result in even more plastics ending up in the landfills. The legislature returns Monday and is expected to wrap up the 2024 session in early June. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt for the New York Public News Network.
Clinton Community College has been approved to submit a formal request for campus relocation. That's a big step forward in its plan to move to SUNY Plattsburgh campus by next fall. As the Plattsburgh Press-Republican reports, this was the first big hurdle to moving all CCC operations to the nearby four-year university. The school also needs to address its accreditation status. If CCC's move to SUNY Plattsburgh is successful, it'll be the first of its kind in the state, as many colleges are downsizing and a few have closed across the U.S. and New York. School leaders say this is what they need to do to stay open and serve people who otherwise wouldn't be able to go to college.
Last week, the Adirondacks received almost $5 million in smart growth grants from the state. The grants will fund building new trails, park expansions, visitor centers, and museum exhibits across the Adirondack Park. About $500,000 was earmarked for housing projects, with the largest amount, $300,000, going to Adirondack Roots, its regional housing pre-development program. The organization says it will use the money to lay the groundwork for 60 new affordable homes in the Adirondacks in Essex, Warren, and Hamilton counties. The grant will pay for things that are often obstacles to affordable housing development, like legal costs, surveying, environmental reviews, and engineering fees. The Lake Champlain Lake George Regional Planning Board will be administering the grant.
The Environmental Protection Agency is offering new funding to replace lead pipes in New York water systems. About $130 million is coming from the bipartisan Infrastructure and Jobs Law, which was passed in 2021. Last year, as part of the same law, the EPA gave money to municipalities to conduct inventories of their public service lines and identify lead pipes. This new funding will pay to replace them. North Country communities like Ogdensburg, Canton, and Watertown are currently in the process. Watertown has been working since 2017 to remove public lead service lines from its system. Lead pipes in individual homes are the responsibility of homeowners. Exposure to lead in children is particularly severe. It's linked to health problems and cognitive losses.
And Messina's old shopping mall is getting new life as an industrial space. The St. Lawrence Center Mall officially closed its doors last month and started advertising itself as a 600,000 square foot industrial and manufacturing complex. Patrick Kelly is the CEO of the St. Lawrence County Industrial Agency. He told WWNY-TV that there are lots of possibilities for the space.
For us, having a facility that's 600,000 square feet that's now available for other uses, you know, warehousing, manufacturing, light assembly, we think it presents a real opportunity in Messina.
The building's owner, Group Shapiro of Montreal, says they're investing about $1 million into renovating the space by creating higher ceilings, open spaces, and adding loading docks.
You're listening to Northern Light here on North Country Public Radio. I'm Todd Moe.
And I'm Monica Sandreski. In just a minute, a poem for black fly season. Then stick around after the show for Bird Note coming up at 8:42. But first, Todd has a look at the weather for us.
Mild temperatures today and tomorrow, highs near 70. We've got a chance of rain showers continuing today. Light winds out of the southwest, lows around 50 overnight tonight. Then tomorrow, sunshine, high around 70 and light southerly breezes. Clouds and maybe some scattered showers Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday with highs in the 50s and low 60s. Right now we have clouds and 56 degrees in Canton.
It is warming up. Hiking season is going on. And with that, black flies, unfortunately. Listener Phil Fitzpatrick summers in Oncheota and recently reached out to the station with a poem about black flies. I called him up to talk about it and to talk about some of his favorite places in the Adirondack Park. But before we got going, he wanted to share some helpful tips.
I have just a little bit of advice to remind people about both how to avoid getting bitten, and what to do when you are bitten.
Oh, what's your advice?
Well, you avoid getting bitten by wearing light-colored clothing and having no scent. And having no scent means that you use unscented laundry detergent, shampoo, and soap. And then years ago, I was staying at Trails End in Keene Valley, which was run by a wonderful woman named Libby. And Libby told me that when you get bitten by a black fly or a mosquito, as soon as possible, you apply a little bit of household ammonia. And that takes all the sting out of it.
Have you tried it? Does it work?
Oh, God, I've been doing it for 40 years. When I go out with my little backpack, I have a brown eyedropper bottle with ammonia in it. I'm in the Adirondacks at camp in May, and they come out, and for the first few days, they don't bite, and then they get hungry. P.S., they really love to bite just before it rains, because when it rains is when they mate, and they like to have a good blood meal before they enjoy mating. So you'll notice if you pay attention that when it gets ready to rain, they're pretty hungry.
that really reminds me of the poem that you sent in to us. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
People of my era will remember bug dope. And bug dope was some sort of insect repellent and didn't have any DEET in it, typically citronella, lavender, that kind of stuff. So the title and the heart of the poem is a pun on bug dope, the substance which kept away the black flies.
Well, could you read your poem for us?
Sure. Here's the poem. Buck Dopes. May in the Adirondacks finds us looking over our shoulders for the feared flying predators we annually endure. Each May, we tell ourselves this dry spell will kill them. This cold snap will kill them. This wind will decimate their hatch. All that before the horde invades. Every year, hope makes bug dopes of us all.
That's great, Phil. That's absolutely great. Yes. What are ways that you like spending time outside in the Adirondacks?
Well, I love the Heron Marsh at the Vic. I spend a lot of time there. It's just a magical, marvelous, wonderful, soulful place for me. And I walk along what used to be the railroad bed of the D&H out of on Chiyoda. It's now a path leading out of the campground. And I call it the White Birch Trail. And it goes along the eastern shore of Lake Cushiqua. And it's just the most beautiful place to be in the morning when the lake is glassine and flat. So of all the many places in the Adirondacks, those are my two favorites.
Have you run into many black flies there?
No, not an unusual amount. I've run into all sorts of wonderful things, the bittern and the otters and the kingfisher and the beavers and all the flying critters. It's just a marvelous place, particularly early in the year before all the pickerel weed has come out, and you can see the wood duck mama with her chicks. And for me, that's just heaven. I don't mind the ephemeral flowers either, the trillium and the clintonia and the lady slippers. And here's one for you, Monica. If you get the chance to go there shortly after sunrise, the sun will, when you go down to the Heron Marsh, the sun will be rising behind you. So the landscape ahead of you is lit and the light moves towards you. And that in itself is beautiful. But then by the time that it gets to you, you see all these umbrella spider webs on all the grasses and the sheep laurel, all the things that are growing. And it's just magical. Everything is decorated for Christmas every morning. It's gorgeous.
That sounds absolutely lovely, Phil. Thank you for that recommendation. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Yeah. All those beautiful little webs are hung with dew, and it's splendiferous. I hope you get to see that.
Phil Fitzpatrick comes up to camp in Anchiota every summer. Find photos of his favorite spots to visit at our website, ncpr.org. He reached out to share his poem about keeping away the black flies. It's published in his collection, Musings Inward. And if you've got a poem to share, reach out. We would love to hear from you. Email us, news@ncpr.org.
That's the group Hot Club of Saratoga, and great group with sort of the spirit and style of Django Reinhardt and Stefan Grappelli. They'll be performing Thursday night at Muzan House in Saratoga Springs. Hot Club of Saratoga. Great quintet. 28 minutes past 8. You're listening to Northern Light right here on North Country Public Radio. I want to remind you that coming up on Saturday, the day before Mother's Day, it's the Mother's Day Artisan Market from 10 to 3 in Plattsburgh, presented by the Strand Center for the Arts. 10 to 3, the Mother's Day Artisan Market at the Strand in Plattsburgh. What else is happening, Monica?
Well, up in Malone, don't forget to check out the new exhibit on display at the Downtown Artist Cellar. It's the Young Artists in Action, and it features young artists from Davis Elementary, Flanders Elementary, St. Joseph's Elementary, Chateauguay Central, Brushton Moira, Salmon River, the St. Regis Mohawk School, and St. Regis Falls Central. A wonderful exhibit of art from young artists at those elementary schools. They're featuring on their website a wonderful image of an owl that looks like it's sort of multimedia, done with construction paper and pastel. You can find out more about the new exhibit on display at the Downtown Artist Cellar in Malone, and more events going on throughout our community at our website, ncpr.org/calendar.
That's Northern Light for this Monday morning, May 6th. Stick around for headlines and news from NPR.
Morning Edition continues after that. Then join us later this morning for a conversation on 1A about third-party candidates and the 2024 election. Learn more about what's driving so many Americans to give them a second look this year and their potential impact on the race. That's on 1A between 10 and noon right here on NCPR. I'm Monica Sandreski.
I'm Todd Moe. Thanks for joining us. Be well.